If you have your Bibles today, please turn to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. What I would like to do today is to go through the Bible and answer a question that might seem like an easy question to answer at first, but that I believe most of us would get wrong if we're not thinking about it carefully. The question is, can you limit God? Can you limit God? Is it possible for us as human beings, His creation, to actually limit the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who created us? Can you limit God? Of course, right away, my thought would be, and I think all of our thought would be, of course not. You can't limit the one who created everything in the world. Well, let's look at the Bible, Psalm chapter 78, and let's find our answer from the Bible. Psalm 78, verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So right here from the scripture, we know that it is possible to limit the Holy One of Israel. It is possible to limit God. But let's clarify. I think the question is flawed. It's not, can you limit God? But think about this. We're going to separate this into two separate questions. So follow me carefully. We need to ask, can you limit what God can do? And can you limit what God will do? Those are two totally separate questions. Can you limit what God is able to do, what God can do, and can you limit what God will do? So let's talk about the first one. Can you limit what God can do? And now I think we can all answer confidently. What is the answer to that question? No. Can you limit what God is able to do, what God can do? I might have tricked you there, but no, we cannot limit what God is able to do. God is able to do infinitely above anything that we can even imagine. He can do whatever He chooses, whatever He pleases to do. And I would like to take you to scripture for that. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Again, the question we are answering right now is, can you limit what God can do? Very different from what God will do. Can you limit what God is able to do? Isaiah chapter 46, beginning in verse 9. The Word of God states, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. So no, we cannot limit what God is able to do. If He speaks it, it will come to pass. If He purposes it, it will be. He says here that my counsel shall stand. Whatever His counsel is, it will come to pass. He will do whatever His pleasure is. So if God pleases to do it, He will do it. God in the beginning said, let there be light. He spoke it and it came to pass, and there was light. And Job proclaims, I know that thou canst do everything. This is Job 42:2. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. The Lord of Revelation declares that the Lord is the one that openeth and no man shutteth. The Lord is the one that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. So clearly we cannot limit what God can do. If He opens the door, we can't shut it. If He shuts the door, we can't open it. We can't limit what He can do. Now on to the next question, which is a very different question that we don't think about very often. Can we limit what God will do? And let me see if we can all get this one right. Can we limit what God will do? Yes, it happens all the time throughout Scripture, happens in our lives every day, it happens in our nation right now. And I want to focus on that. There are many, many avenues that we could go into Scripture about people that limit what God will do for them. I want us to think about all of these, which is why there's too much for me to go to. But think about us limiting what God will do in our own personal lives and in our families. And then think about us limiting what God will do as a church, as our local body, church body, and as the people of God. And then think about what we do to limit what God will do for our nation, as a nation. Many nations in the Bible were blessed abundantly because they did not limit what God would do for them in a good way. And many nations in the Bible were cursed abundantly and were not blessed because they limited God's blessings, not because they limited God's ability to bless them, but because they limited God's willingness to bless them. Let's look first at Isaiah chapter 59. I want to think about very specific things that we do to limit what God will do for us. Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in verse 1, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse 2. The word of God states, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Now that first verse is talking about the fact that we cannot limit what God can do. Notice it says that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. God is able to save. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God is able to hear. God can hear and he can save. Then look at verse 2 very carefully. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he," not cannot this time, "but that he will not hear." Do you see the very big difference between can and will? He can say if he can hear, but here, the specific thing I want to look at first and mainly today is iniquities, sin. Our sin and our iniquities will cause God to not hear and not save. He will not hear because of their iniquities. And notice the phrasing that it says here, that he hid his face. I listened to a sermon while I was cleaning at the school. I listened to a sermon. By the way, it's a very good resource if you haven't done it already. It helps me at school whenever I get overwhelmed at the end of the day. In Valdosta especially, I would do this because I had planning after I taught. I would go to thetrumpetoftruth.com, go to the audio sermons, and just play through them. And I'd go in order sometimes, and sometimes I'd look at the titles and see where God led me. But it blesses me sometimes. And just this past week, while I was cleaning at the school, I listened to a sermon talking about the fact that we cannot hide from God, but God can and does sometimes hide from us. And here's one thing. We limit the ability for us to see God because of our iniquities, because God can hide from us. We can't hide from him, but he will hide from us whenever we have iniquity. He will also sometimes hide from us as a trial of our faith. But right now I'm focused on the fact that we limit our ability to see God. We limit what God will do for us because of our iniquities. Our iniquities cause him to hide his face from us. We won't be able to see him. And then also it says that he will not hear. And another thing I think we get wrong a lot of times just because we don't think it through is, I want to ask you another question. This is a sidebar for a little while. Does God always hear our prayers? No, God does not always hear our prayers. Again, it depends. Right here, he will not hear them. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, it says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." And then Proverbs 15, verse 29 states, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." So while we're living in our sin and in our iniquities, we put up a barrier. We put up a wall. The word of God said it separated us from him. We put up a wall with our iniquities that caused God not to be willing to hear us. He won't hear us in that state of us living in our sin without us being repentant and coming to God in a repentant heart. In Jeremiah, we will turn there eventually today, hopefully, but in Jeremiah chapter 11, the word of God proclaims that the nations of Israel and Judah turned back to the iniquities. Again, that's the word we're focusing on right now, the iniquities of their forefathers. They turned back. They were walking with God and they turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. And then it goes on to say, "Thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape." And listen carefully to this. "And though they shall cry unto me," they'll pray, they'll cry out to God and pray to him, "I will not hearken unto them." So the word of God clearly teaches that There comes a point whenever we are sinning in our iniquity that he will not hear us. Not that he cannot hear us, but he just will not hear us because of our iniquity. Continuing with this line of iniquity, because I think our nation has a bunch of sin in it, a bunch of iniquity in it. I think ourselves daily sometimes have iniquity in us that we know about, not just iniquity as sin that we don't even think about, but sometimes, probably in everybody's life right now, if I told you, let's just take a minute to think about some sins in our life that we know we are committing, or some sins of omission where we are not doing what we know we should do, you can think of a ton of things. And that sin in our lives that we know about very clearly that we just haven't gotten rid of yet, that sin is a wall that is causing God not to be willing to do for us, to bless us. We are limiting what God will do because of our sin. Let's turn to Revelation, the book of Revelation. And I just want to summarize for you what's happening at the beginning. Jesus speaks to the churches, the seven churches, and there is an iniquity. There is a sin in their lives that is a barrier between them and God. And the church in Ephesus, they had left their, what is it? They had left their first love. And the church in Pergamos, they allowed those who held false doctrines to remain in the church. And the church in Thyatira, they suffered Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce God's servants to commit fornication and to worship idols. The Laodiceans were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. And we could go on, but he speaks to those churches and he tells them, here's what you've done right. Here's the good things. I've seen your works, your good works. And then, but I have something against thee. There's an iniquity in your life that is a wall. I want you to think about that. There's a wall. There's a separation between them and what God will do for them. And then in Revelation chapter 3, everybody look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 19. We'll begin in verse 19 here. Keep in mind, we need to know the context of this. This is to those seven churches that he just said, here's good stuff, but here's something I have against thee. As many as I love, Revelation 3, verse 19, as many as I love, this is Jesus speaking, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, if we think about this in the context, many people take this out of context and apply this to being born again. Now, this is not what this is talking about. This is not us asking God to enter into our hearts and to make us born again. This is referring to those churches that have this barrier, this door that is a barrier between them and God. And if they will open the door, what do you think opening the door represents there? It is getting rid of that barrier of sin. If they will open the door, then God will come and will sup with them, or they will be able to see him. He will hear their prayers. They will feel his fellowship, his intimate fellowship as they live here in this world. So if we will open the door, if these churches, notice it was speaking to the churches, if our church will open the door, if we will get rid of our iniquities, God will come and sup with us and he will bless us. But if we keep that door closed, it's a barrier and we're limiting what God will do for us. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Again, just sticking with iniquities, the iniquities of our own lives, the iniquities of the church, and the iniquities of our nation. These are walls that are limiting what God will do for us. If we will get rid of them, then we will experience great blessing. And if we will not get rid of them, we will experience cursing. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, Well, let's focus on the first part here. He gave a command. I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. So if we do these things, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Here's the other side of that. But, verse 17, if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. But the Lord is doing the same for us today that he is talking about here. He presents before us, this is what he is able to do. He is able to give us life and blessing. He can give us cursing and death. And we have a choice. We can limit him giving us the life and the blessing by choosing death and not keeping his commandments. Or if we will turn our back on iniquities and not just not sin, not commit sin, but also if we will serve God, which if we don't do the things we know we should do, that's also sin. So both of those things are iniquity, as doing things we shouldn't do and as not doing things we should do. If we will do the things we should do and get rid of the things we shouldn't do, then God will abundantly bless us and we will not be limiting what God will do for us. For a more in-depth study of what Deuteronomy chapter 30 just talked about, read Deuteronomy chapter 28 in its fullness. I'm going to pick apart just a few verses out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Then, if we go down to verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, if you don't. So this is the flip side of it. If you don't, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. So our iniquities are very, very weighted. The sins of our life, sometimes I think we have this thought of, that's just a tiny sin. It's not going to mean much to me. I still do all this other good stuff. Right away, whenever I study this, whenever I think about this, even now, I think of some of the tiny sins in my life that I know that God reveals to me are some of the reasons why God limits what he would do for me if I would just get rid of those iniquities and if I would serve God better. There are many things I know I should be doing that I don't do as well as I should or as often as I should or as consistently or, as Brother Marty said, as steadfast as I should. We go back and forth and back and forth, and that will cause us to limit what God will do. Can we limit what God can do for us? No, but we can limit what God will do for us. Now, I think about our nation. The sins of our nation are great. We have many, many things going on. I have a list here of some things that come to my mind of the sins of our nation. But I feel that us here, what we need to know about the sins of our nation and us limiting what God will do for our nation is that, yes, there are people that are not servants of God. They're not living as children of God, and they are out there doing terrible things in our nation. But I think what's laid on my heart the most is that the reason God, we're limiting what God will do as far as the people in this room and the people that love the Lord is because we allow this evil to go on and we don't speak up. All it takes for evil to prevail in our nation is for good men, people that love the Lord, to sit still and to let it happen. That is a great sin. We should be speaking out. And we're limiting what God will do for our nation by just allowing all of this iniquity to go on without speaking up against it in love, in the love that is taught in the Word of God, in our love for God and for those that are sinning. They don't know that their iniquity is limiting the blessings that God will do for our nation. And it bothers me so much whenever people can't see how our founding fathers and our beginning nation, they called upon the Lord. I read their writings. I especially have read John Adams' letters to his wife, Abigail. He's not trying to be political there and to proclaim God politically in his private letters to his wife. And in almost one out of every three letters I read, I'm reading them in order, one out of every three, he will mention how blessed they are and the providence, that means God's hand in, involved in and working in the founding of their nation. And they acknowledged God. They did not forget God. They looked to God for the founding of our nation. And look at our nation. We took these small little people that had no army, and we took on the greatest army at that time in the world. And because of God's blessing on them, because they looked to God and were getting rid of their iniquity and trying to serve God, God blessed us to win that impossible war. If you can't see God's hand in that, then you're not searching very hard. And then throughout our nation, you can see how we were built up. We're a young, young nation, and we were built up. God's blessing in Deuteronomy that we just read, that is what has taken place in our nation. It's a great blessing by the grace of God. He did great for us. We did not limit what he would do. And now we are slowly taking God out of everything. We're not going to mention God. We take him out of the schools. And look at what's happening. If you open up your eyes, you can see God's hand of blessing just coming off of our nation. We're limiting what God will do for our nation. And again, I want to stress that I think what we can do here is speak up, stand up for the truth of God's word. Do what we can out of love, knowing that we are all sinners. But out of love, because we know that our whole nation is limiting what God will do for it, we need to speak up against these sins and encourage others not to forget the blessings of God on our land. All right, there are two other things I would like to mention before we close. I focused a lot here on iniquity, which I thought would happen as I studied this. Iniquity will put a wall between us and God. It will limit what God will do for us. But there are two other things I would like to mention here. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it reads, "And he," that is God, "and he," or Jesus, "he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." So our sin will limit what God will do for us, and our unbelief in God. And I believe not too long ago, I spoke about how our unbelief will cause us not to enter into God's rest. Does anybody remember that? That our unbelief will cause God not to allow us to enter into that rest, that blessing in our soul. And I believe that that is limiting what God will do for you, our unbelief. And again, think about the children of Israel whenever they were standing outside of Canaan land and they were about to march in, and they sent 10 spies in, and they came back and they were scared and they said there were giants. They did not believe that God was able. See, they answered the first question wrong. Can we limit what God can do? They did not believe that God could deliver them and help them to conquer those giants. That limited what God would do for them because they did not believe in God. So iniquities, unbelief, and then finally in James chapter 4, everybody turn to James chapter 4. We'll read verse 2 and 3. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. I believe another reason that we limit what God will do for us is because we don't ask. We don't come to God in prayer. Everyone in this building, no matter how sick, those that are not able to be in this building, most of them are able to pray to God for forgiveness of our sins and of our nation's sins, and for help and for guidance and for the many things that we should be asking God for the blessings that we need from God. We all need to ask God for these blessings. Ye have not because ye ask not. And then as far as our nation goes, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, notice here, it's not saying if those people out there that are not God's people will do this. If my people, which are called by my name, if those that love the Lord, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I believe we need to pray, ask God, turn from our wicked ways, and then will God hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. So, in summary, can we limit what God can do? No, we are not able to limit what God can do. Whatever He pleases, He does. But we can limit what God will do in our own lives, as a church, like the churches in Revelation, and as a nation. And I pray that we will seek His face, turn from our iniquities, ask God, and believe that God is able to do abundantly more than anything we ask. And that's my prayer, for Christ's sake.